Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
I say, old boy, it's Friday, isn't it? Yeah.
I say, you're into that English. You didn't introduce yourself, Herbie. You didn't say who you were.
Sir William Knight.
Wait a second. He's wearing a red English football shirt.
That's what it is.
Are you an English football fan, by the way? I'm just curious. Do you follow?
No, I just happen to have the jacket, and everyone goes, "Oh, you're in the football, aren't you?"
You know, it's amazing. People know
with a spot of tea.
People know what we did for a profession if they just look in our closet, because they will see like CBS FM T-shirts, KDK. Every place I work, I got clothes.
I don't know if I'm happy to say this. Now, I used to have a big collection of radio station jackets, some embroidered really nice silk jackets.
T-shirts too? Did you get the T-shirts?
Oh, I had a closet full. They were all nicely pressed and hung all the way down.
Yep.
And a lot of radio guys will identify with this. I mean, I had quite the collection, and then there was somebody that came into my life. And while I was gone one weekend, they sat there and said, "This stuff is in the trash and at the, they took it over to Sally's."
He doesn't need this anymore. He's got me.
He doesn't need it, and I'm like, my jewels, my crown jewels. That happened to I don't know, 1,100 albums. I had a job transfer, so I had them all in storage. Yeah, get rid of that stuff. And there were rare albums in there that
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had in boxes in my garage the music of my musical career. But I made a mistake of putting them in the plastic boxes and sealing them because it gets hot and cold in the garage. Some of them got kind of warped, which didn't really help when you played them. But the other thing was they also got kind of moldy and mildewy. The thing is, you don't really listen to them anymore. I don't listen there are vinyl aficionados out there who will say, "Oh my God, it's sacrilegious to have done that." But I mean, nowadays, when you want to hear any song, you just click on your iPhone, you hear it in stereo, and move on. I haven't listened to an album in years. But you were talking about clothes, right? And there's a guy, I don't know if you heard this or not, there's a guy in the news who is going to get a whole new set of clothes effective immediately.
Oh, yeah, and these clothes
should
last him 110 years.
Oh, at least.
If you're talking about the same guy I'm talking about.
Well, if you're not, I'm talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, the one and only. They describe him, by the way. They describe him in this article as disgraced former billionaire. No, he was really never a billionaire. He was just a disgraced former thief, they found him guilty of all the charges against him. I mean, that's pretty bad. It's like he cleaned the slate. They didn't give him a break on anything. But then again, he didn't give anybody a break when he took their money. I mean, a lot of people invested in his venture, and it just was a scam.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How long do you think he's really going to do out of the 110?
Oh, I think he's going to go away for life. I don't think he's going to get any. I mean, they'll appeal it. And they may go from 110 to 75, but still.
Well, do you think
I wouldn't make any plans for Christmas, Sam? I'll tell you.
How many lights of day do you think he's going to see when he gets in there? Because I'm sure that there are criminals in there, unless they find a way to isolate him, general population.
It's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not going to be pretty. And I'm not wishing ill will on him, but he didn't care about the people he stole the money from. So.
No, as a matter of fact, I mean, I was amazed at how long he just sat around in his island retreat after he had been discovered as being a thief. He went on for several months living that luxurious life.
Because he thought they'd never come get him.
Yeah, he thought he was protected. I think he was where, Jamaica or someplace, but they extradited him. And that was
it. Well, I would have found a lot further place to go and a place that they wouldn't extradite you. But, you know, sooner or later, they're going to get you one way or the other. Because
I don't think that they have got any spaceships to Mars yet. So, and I think they probably would have extradited him from the moon. So, I mean, I think.
What about the sun? Because, you know,
it's hot this time of year.
It's pretty well. Yeah, you know, the old meme, I guess, obviously it wasn't true, but, you know, from who they say it came, it could have been AOC going, why doesn't Elon Musk launch a rocket to the sun to explore it at night?
Yeah. yes. Intelligence.
In some circles, it makes sense.
Yeah, intelligence isn't their strong suit. Anyway, so Sam Bankman-Fried, it's done. It's history. And I guess we move on from that story. I think if you saw pictures of him, he looked surprised. I think he thought he was going to get off. Maybe it's because when you live that life of entitlement for so long, you just think that, well, I've got this covered. I mean, don't worry about anything. I've been, this politician has been paid off and this politician has been paid off. Heck, even probably that judge has been paid off indirectly. I mean, I'm all set. So he came out looking like a deer in headlights after the verdict yesterday. Hmm. So anyway.
Very interesting.
The other big story, Bill, the other huge story, is the massive sea of humanity that is making its way to our southern border. And, of course, the Biden administration has been doing so much to protect us. I mean, it's amazing how maybe they haven't. Let me take that back. No, come to think of it, they haven't done quite as much. Let me take that back. They've done nothing. They've done nothing to protect us. That's probably more appropriate. I mean, they haven't increased the military presence on the border. They haven't increased the Border Patrol or changed their rules and regulations. They have them doing escort service right now, essentially, on the border. The Border Patrol is essentially meeting the immigrants at the border, helping them over the fence, and then walking them to the bus, where they are taken to an airport and distributed through many of our major American cities. So, I mean, that's what they're doing right now. When they were working for Trump, they were stopping him at the border. They were turning them around and sending them back. So, right now, Biden hasn't even mentioned it. Hasn't even mentioned the border crisis. And when they had Mayorkas on the hearing a couple of days ago, they asked him directly, and he did everything to evade giving a direct answer. He had these canned answers that he probably had memorized because they sounded it. And someone would ask him a question like, how many illegals have come across the border, Mr. Mayorkas, Secretary Mayorkas? And Mayorkas would say something like, the illegal problem is a major problem that we're dealing with on a daily basis. I mean, he didn't, and that's how he answered. It was vague. It didn't even touch on a real answer. He avoided every single opportunity to give a direct answer. The guy's a weasel. I mean, the guy is a traitor. He has helped to facilitate our terribly weak border and the crisis that we have right now. And believe me, Bill, I got to play the. I got to cut. You got to hear.
All right.
But before I do that, I should remind audience of something very important that's going to happen at the end of our program today, the beginning of the weekend, essentially.
No, I'm kidding.
Nope, we're going to play the brand new Beatles song. If you haven't heard it, you'll want to stick around for that.
We'll give our opinion on it. But, if you're a Beatles fan, you're going to want to hear it. I can tell you that.
Interesting interesting little song. I'm surprised they came out with it. The backstory is fascinating, Bill. But that'll come up at the end of the program. If you want to hear it sooner, you're going to have to fast forward, and you'll miss so much great information. So just relax.
A veritable plethora of information.
Oh, I like that word.
You. Plethora or veritable?
Plethora.
Or the two together.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, Joe Rogan had a guest yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Got that story right here where,
Tim Kennedy. And I've seen a lot of people would recognize Tim because he's a former Special Forces operative. I think he was involved with Benghazi. One of the major operations, I think it was Benghazi. The guy is, he's a rock solid guy who knows a lot about what's going on behind the scenes. And Joe Rogan had him as a guest. And you got to hear how he answered about the problem we're really facing right now. We're really facing a major problem on the border. Listen.
Once people are here and they cross over, there's not a real screening process in terms of like who's a criminal, what your history is in your country of origin.
Yeah, you want to get a weird Google thing. Google how many known people on the terror watch list have made it across. And it'll scare the crap out of you. So Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, you know, we have these gigantic lists of people that are on terror watch lists, criminal watch lists, and the number of those that we have captured at the border obviously is just going to be a drop in a bucket of those that have made it across. And, you know, it is in light of what just happened in Israel, where, you know, they flew paragliders over borders, over walls, and they crashed through walls, and then they were able to kill 1,400 people in one day. And then you look at the number, and that was 1,000 insurgents total. And then you look at the number of people that have been coming over the border for the past 3 years that we know are radicalized, that we know are on watch lists. It should scare the pants, like to scare you to death, the position that we're at. We're going to have a real bad year. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI yesterday, they talked about a bunch of known terrorist cells that are currently not operating. They are operating, but they are looking for opportunities, targets of opportunity to conduct terrorist activities here in the United States. Department of State just released an entire worldwide warning to all Americans traveling abroad, saying that it is dangerous for any American to be traveling anywhere in the world right now with the amount of terrorist cells that have now been activated.
That should scare you, huh, Tim Kennedy?
Oh, yeah. We got hell coming to knock at our door is what we got.
And this guy who is in the White House has done nothing. Nothing.
Well, yeah, he has done something. He's the one that's opened the door. He's taken down the border walls. And why has he done it? To allow this to happen. Yeah. He wants to dismantle America. There's no other reason for what's going on than, you know, we want to see, or he wants to see, and whoever's with him, they want to see this great empire collapse. And I think that what you see going on with maybe the Hamas war is part of the beginning of that, but it's also everything you see, the Ukraine, that is all a distraction from him tearing down the very fabric of this country.
He said that you heard him say, you know, you see what they did with the 1,000 guys on paragliders in Israel. Mm-hmm. He said multiply that times by 10, 20, 30. I mean, who knows? But there is a sea, an army of terrorists in our country right now.
And you know what? They attacked with paragliders, right?
Yeah.
Well, what would you do if you're driving down the all road and all of a sudden on the horizon, no, it's not a V shape of alien lights. It is paragliders coming. Oh, look, it's a paragliding group. I would be finding a different route to go.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking as I was listening to that, I think that this is going to damage shopping malls, supermarket shopping, movie theaters. I mean, any place where there's a lot of people, people are going to think twice. Especially if they attack one of them at some point. If something at some point happens, these places are going to, people are going to go be retreating to their homes again, just like the pandemic. And it'll be because of this guy. And by the way, maybe that's what they're looking for. Maybe they're looking for terrorist attacks to keep people away from the voting booths.
Well, it could be. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, we say don't go to places where people congregate. People don't really congregate in mass anymore anyway. I mean, malls are in major cities, I guess, are still doing well. But a lot of the places, they're not doing well. But you've got suburban neighborhoods. I mean, they're ripe for the picking for something like that. And, you know, even if you go, well, I have a house that's way out in the woods all by itself, you don't think they're going to come down and say, hey, let's go down and do some mayhem right there. We can eat their food, kill their kids, and, you know, do whatever, and then take off.
You know? Let's think of an average police force in an average town, right? Maybe 30 guys working on the police force with all the different shifts. I'm thinking about an average size American town. You know, I mean, there are some smaller and there are some bigger, but I'm talking about the suburban, you know, communities. They maybe have 30 guys working on the police force. Do you think that's enough people to protect a town from an onslaught of terrorists?
No. And by the time we got soldiers, real soldiers in, it would be too late. But by the time you got the guard to come in, because the National Guard is made up of basically people that have a civilian life that they live. They go and they work down at the corner convenience store. They go and they work at Procter & Gamble down the road or somewhere like that. They got a job. And, you know, they go, oh, wait, I just got called up. Well, let me do this. I got to punch out. Well, write me out. I got to go. They got to drive to the It's all over by the time they get there.
Yep.
You know, they can't just pick up. We are not geared for this. And
the other question is, if the people, the citizenry, decide to take their own self-defense, you know, personally and break out the old weapons at home, and they protect themselves against these terrorists, and they shoot somebody who's trying to do them harm, all of a sudden, now the onus is on them. They will be arrested in our society.
Let me ask you a question.
They'll have to prove that it wasn't murder or manslaughter.
All right, you know what? I'd rather defend myself that way than to sit there and watch my family be slaughtered, raped, and whatever else bad.
What's the old expression? I'd rather be judged by 12 of my peers as opposed to being carried by six.
That's right.
Yeah.
I would sit there and say, we'll deal with those consequences after. And that's that. And that's how I personally look at it. But, you know, there was a time we've always felt safe and secure in the United States, except for maybe the attack in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And 911, you know, we've been safe in our homeland. We've always been safe. That was the one thing you could say about the way America's situated. We had guarded borders. Everything, all the I's were dotted, the T's were crossed. One person has dismantled all of that in not even one term. And you got to ask yourself the question, why? Why has he done that very opposite of some of his speeches early on in his career? Now, I say he was always a crook, a liar, a cheat, and a thief, but he still, you know, spoke of the importance of the border walls and everything else. Why did he all of a sudden, in his old senility?
Because it was personally beneficial to him to change.
Then he's a treasonous. Get him the hell out. No. I don't want him out of here. I want him locked up, tried, and then let's deal with how you take care of it. Look, the open borders that he's done, he's let down our defense. Terrible. And, you know, what's going on with everything that he's done, some would say, well, look what he's done overseas. Look what he's done to, you know, make money. The extortion, everything he's done are all acts of treason.
We kind of made light of this yesterday, but it's a serious issue. In New York City, prostitution is booming. It's all, for the most part, illegals who are doing the prostitution. And they believe it's being controlled by the Mexican cartels.
Well, let me ask you a question here. I mean, I don't care if you want to go and get your Yahas, but you know what? That ain't the way to do it, because you know what? You're going to get more than your Yahas. Let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. They've come over with disease and everything else.
Well,
you know, do you really think that that's a smart move?
But think about it. They're being controlled by the Mexican cartels.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, the prostitution in New York is being controlled by the, the guys down below, south of the border. And it's because of Joe Biden. They say that it's so bad now that some of these prostitutes are soliciting school students, high school students. They're all, and also, you know, it used to be the prostitution was relegated to the evening, to the dark of night. But
oh,
now,
broad daylight now,
now it's like three shifts. You know, it's like there's a first shift, second shift, and a third shift.
Do they have union cards and benefits?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, the sad part about it is I saw New York in the 80s when it was cleaned up by Rudy and his administration. You know, in the 70s when I worked there, it was bad. It was bad right. then, too. I mean, you walked into Times Square, and every other place was a peep show. There'd be a hawker on the sidewalk saying, hey, come on in, no cover. Come on in. Hey, the girls are great, you know. And they would describe what the girls looked like and what they were wearing, which was usually nothing. And not that I ever really, I didn't go in, but, I mean, this is what I was told. But Times Square was a cesspool. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, when Rudy came in, he put all these tax breaks. He increased law enforcement in Times Square. He made it difficult for the criminals to really work in Times Square. And all of those buildings were reclaimed. And then you all of a sudden you'd see the Disney store pop up. They would invest millions in this showplace store. And then right next door to down the street was the Warner Brothers store. It almost became like an amusement park, Times Square. It was clean. There was no violence. It was a whole different look to New York. It became a destination place again. Well, right now, from what I understand, it's back to the 70s. It's back to the filth, the crime, the prostitution, the slime that New York was back then. And they say it's only getting worse. And, you know, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, he complained about it. He complained vociferously about it. And you know what happened to him? Yesterday they announced that the Biden administration is investigating him, looking into claims that he may have misappropriated funds in his 2022 election. Like Biden hasn't misappropriated funds, right? But that's another story. But they're saying that he may have gotten secret funds from, of all places, a donor in Turkey. In Turkey. For the Eric Adams. They've already arrested, from what I understand, one of his chief aides, a fundraiser, a young woman. I think she's only about 25. But they want to twist her arm so that she'll testify against Adams. But this is what happens when you're a Democrat and you start talking badly about the current administration. You know, they'll show you. We'll set an example with this guy here. So Biden is a bad guy, folks. This is not a good man. If you voted for him,
well, let me show you what this is.
Yes, exactly.
And they paint the picture, and it may not be a true picture at all. And, well, look at Trump. All the charges, felony charges against him, well, it's falling apart. Jack Smith's case is falling apart. And, you know, they say, actually, it's the Democratic. Everything that they do is legal to do because it's legal to question something. And they throw it out there. It's a Hail Mary. Has really not a snowball's chance in hell of making it, but there is that one in a million chance that it can. But you know what? I'm going because they like to go, it's legal. Well, you know what? In that rule, it's also legal to question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. But we can't. But they can question us with stuff that you find out, wait a minute, this was a fabricated story. Yeah, but we're still going to use it to question you.
You know,
wait a minute. We have
one of the cases, Bill. You may have heard this. When they presented the prosecution yesterday, they're trying to get him removed from the ballot, Trump, in Colorado. So the prosecution showed a video of Trump speaking on January 6th, and they re-edited it. So it said what they wanted him to say.
Yeah, and that was a mistake.
And they had the timeline, that like the timestamp changed. They had literally doctored the video they were showing the court, which, by the way, is perjury. These are lawyers. They were presenting lies to the court, and they got caught.
So they should be disbarred. They should lose their license, and the case should be thrown out, period.
I'm with you, pal. I agree.
It's done. It's over. Can't retry it. I'm sorry.
I happen to agree. The mere fact that they went so far to lie to the court says to me, there's no case here. Let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You know, they know it's a Hail Mary, so the only way they have to sit there and throw up their hands and go, geez, oh, hell, let's cheat now.
Yeah.
Because we're in the court. Let's cheat. Nobody will notice. Well, it wasn't that nobody noticed. Nobody said anything before. Now people are saying, wait a minute. No. You know, I mean, there's a Newsweek article that is, it's an opinion piece, which, you know, they're not going to go total Trump, but they're going, it's time to coalesce around, you know, it's time to gather around and support Trump because of this.
I think they said 76% of Republicans in a recent McLaughlin and Associates poll say they don't want any more debates. No more debates. Just get behind our leader and let's move on. Let's not show a divisive party.
Yeah, I mean, now Democrats are going to sit there and say, oh, no, we're not getting behind that. But you know what? You know, there are Democrats now that are going, wait a minute, you know what? Enough is enough. I mean, that was even evident yesterday in the Congress when they did a budget to help Israel out, some $14 billion. And Joe Biden's, I want $105 billion to help out the Ukraine or I'm going to veto it. Well, get out your veto pen, pal. We'll show you where to put it.
Well, now he's trying to bury the money to Ukraine in a bill to help Israel. Yeah. They're trying to, they figure, well, we've lost the popularity. You know, the people are no longer supporting the Ukraine. We still need to get the money. So let's bury that money request in a bill that sends money to Israel. You know, so they talk about the money they're sending to Israel. And they don't tell you in the same bill, they're also asking for another $100 billion or whatever. I don't know the figure, but, you know, another massive amount of money. How much, Bill?
$105 billion, I believe is what it is.
Is that the total package for Israel and the Ukraine?
I don't know. I know it's $14 billion for just Israel, so he wants $105 billion. So it's probably the total package, but it doesn't matter. He's going to take more of the money and go to, once they get it approved, all right, let's reallocate this money, and the lion's share is going to go to where he wants it to go. And I'm sorry. And I feel bad for people that are losing their lives there. Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. No more money to the Ukraine. That's it. It's done.
There was a story 2 days ago, you probably saw this, that some reporter discovered that one of the officials in the Ukraine admitted that the money is being stolen hand over fist. I think that was the term they used. It's being stolen hand over fist by the Ukraine.
And we know about it. We knew it.
So, I mean, folks, we're sending all of this money to the Ukraine, and a good chunk of it is going into the pockets of these corrupt, bloody officials.
Let me ask you a question. What is the possibility? We already know about the, you know, the Burisma thing, everything, and Joe Biden, you know, well, you know, if you don't get rid of him, you know, you can kiss off those funds, which is illegal to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we know that some of this money that we're allocating, all right, that's going to the Ukraine, that now we know they're not using it to fight, it's going into the pockets of people?
Mm-hmm.
Joe doesn't have a backhand to sit there and say, yep, thanks for my cut.
Well, you know, he took 10% from his son. I'm sure he's taking cuts from, I mean,
somebody needs to investigate it, because if they find out, if I found out that he was doing that, I would go to Washington and run for an office to say, get this guy out. Should do that anyway. He needs to be out of there.
I just find it amazing that this guy has never had in his entire existence, in his entire life, a job other than a job as a public servant. Every single check that he's received, essentially, has come to him as a result of him being in politics. And he's been in politics since he was 29 years old. So 29 to, he's what, 80, 81, or whatever he is, right? I guess he's 80 years old. And that's, the guy's been in 51 years. He's been in public service. You can tell how much money he earned. He made, essentially, I'm rounding this off, about $150,000 each year as a senator, right? Maybe $200,000 there. Let's say $200,000 just to be generous. Well, how does a guy who makes $200,000 a year, who has to support his family, who has to pay all the bills, and he lives in Washington, which was it's a high rent district in a lot of areas, suburban Washington. I'm not talking about downtown Washington, but I mean the suburbs where these public officials live are pretty ritzy, you know, Falls Church and Reston and all these towns in Virginia. So he probably was a little strapped even with his $200,000 a year, but he had kids to put in college and feed the family. How does a guy who has those things that he has to deal with end up being a multi-millionaire? I mean, please just stop everybody for 1 second and let the dust settle and try to tell me how a guy who makes X amount of dollars ends up with Y amount of dollars in his bank account other than being a thief. I mean, the guy, now you're saying maybe, well, if he was a thief, you'd think the other people in Congress would have gone after him. No, I'm saying they're the other people thieves. In Congress are thieves too. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get guys like Mitch McConnell not going after Joe Biden. You think McConnell doesn't know that Biden's a thief? I think they're probably on the same gravy train.
You got Biden with homes. What is he, four or five homes?
Yeah.
They're all multi-million dollar homes, and they're all paid off, all right? So let's just say that he made the 150, which back 40, 50 years ago, you weren't making $150,000. Let's just be honest. And out of that money, and you pay your taxes and what you have left after regular living expenses, but let's just say that he lived scot-free, all that money got to go into the bank. It's still under $10 million. He couldn't own all those homes debt-free and have all of that unless there was some money that was coming in. Let's face it, his Delaware home, you know, it was paid off right away. I mean, instantly.
Yeah.
And it was right after he got a check. And then he went and took out a HELOC loan, which is an equity loan.
Yeah, home equity, house,
for $250,000. And I was like, wait a minute. Why didn't you just not pay out of that $4-something million? Just say, we're going to finance only $250,000. The rest is paid off, and that way they could have kept that money. No, there was something else going on there, and that was obvious because that money that came in.
If you want to know how deep and how strong the deep state is, just look at how they're protecting Joe Biden right now. Because to the average observer like you and I, right? You and me. We see it's so obvious what he's done. It's so obvious how he's stolen from the American people. He's used his position to gain influence in these foreign countries, and he's been paid off by them for his influence in our government. You know? I mean, it's as simple as that. But yet there are news channels and there are news programs that will jump to his defense like we're talking through our hats.
Well, places like China, places like Russia, even Putin, sat there and said, the one problem about America and its democracy is the fact that every 4 years, you potentially have a new leader in place, as if that was something bad. Actually, it's something good because it means that, the water doesn't get stagnant. But there are people here that want to make the water stagnant and stay in power and not have any change. And, so we've got this corrupt set there, and Biden is the head of that. I mean, you got Schumer sitting there talking about, oh, yeah, that Congress plan, don't worry, Senate's going to take care of that. We're not going to pass that through. And I'm sitting there going, and it started making me think, you know, about term limits and everything. And maybe this is a dumb thing to say, but maybe what we do besides term limits, we vote in a mechanism. And that mechanism is, oh, you're going to be in for, you got 6 years and you got two terms. During that course of those two terms, 12 years, each year your vote diminishes by a percent. So it doesn't matter that you vote lockstep. You know, at some point in time, your vote's a half vote or a quarter vote. So in other words, you run out of gas. They've got somebody new has got to be elected one way or the other.
See, you know, it's funny. You were saying what you just said, and I was thinking, these people, the system was created so that, like, there are checks and balances. But
no, we're taking them away.
They have actually thought around. They've thought around those checks and balances over the years. They've figured out ways to make government continue. You know, you wonder sometimes when you hear they'll make this big deal. Well, Senator so-and-so has decided to retire after three terms in office. That's 18 years. Three terms in office. Senator so-and-so has figured that it's time for younger blood to step into the arena of politics and take his place. He will reside in suburban Washington and work for such and such lobbying firm, which will pay him three times his senatorial salary, four times his. So he will use his influence that he's developed over 18 years to lobby existing senators for stuff for the private sector. I mean, it's disgusting. They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Well, you've got that going on, and let's face it. I mean, Biden's in. He's appointed different people to different branches of the government that are salaried positions that aren't elected, and so they're there. They're part of the fabric, part of the woodwork, part of the voting population. There are 2.5 million people that work, you know, aren't elected, that work for the federal government, and most of them are left-leaning Democrats.
Yeah.
They vote. They do everything. Oh, you're bringing up charges against Trump. Well, you know, it's kind of weird. That's okay. I'll back you up. And I got Billy Bob over here that's going to help you back it up. As a matter of fact, we got an AI creative writer so we can make up these stories. By the time they figure it out, it'll be too late. We got a judge in place.
You know, I heard you say that.
They have unions. That's not so funny.
They have unions, these government employees. And it goes so far as these unions will send out flyers suggesting who you should vote for, who thinks along the lines of the union that they are members of, you know. They do it in teachers' unions. In teachers, I know that as a fact, okay? I'm not going to go into it, but in teachers' unions, if you're a teacher and you work in a school district, you have to be a member of a certain union. That union will send out flyers saying, well, we endorse this presidential candidate because he's kind of like one of us, you know, and he believes in what we believe in. So this is the person we think you should vote for. Even if you are somebody who thinks completely differently from that person, you'll still get these recommendations. You'll be kind of told that it's the right union thing to do. So you talk about those 2.5 million government employees. They aren't just left-leaning. They are a force to be reckoned with in that they're instructed by their superiors as to what they should do, you know?
You want to keep that position, you better...
You want a promotion in this operation?
Well, you know, they're guaranteed a lot of stuff, so...
You know, we talked about President Trump and how they're trying to indict him, they're trying to keep him off the ballot. Willie Geist, who is on the Morning Joe show, I mean, which is just ridiculous.
Morning Joe with that.
I'm sorry. Joe Scarborough, he was once a Republican. And at one
he was
time.
Never a Republican.
Well, at one time in his life, he had convinced even yours truly that he was a conservative. I mean, I'm talking about 10 years ago. I used to believe, well, he's a. He seems like a decent young guy from, I think he was from Ohio. I believe he was on our side. No, he was on Joe Scarborough's side. And Joe Scarborough had the ethics and the morals of a snake. And, I mean, he dumped his, I think, his second wife and married, what's her name, Mika Brzezinski, his co-host. And it's the Mika and Joe show, essentially, right now. And, you know, Mika is Leonid Brzezinski's daughter, who was, I think, a very important advisor to President Carter back in the day, and a left-leaning guy, big time. And so, you know, apples don't fall far from the tree. And what she did was she convinced Joe, essentially, that it was to come on to our side of the political line. It's more fun on the liberal side than it is the conservative side. And so Joe became an enthusiastic leftist. His show is ridiculous. His show is a waste of space. Mm-hmm. And but he has this cast of characters. Willie Geist is one of them, who used to be an NBC reporter and used to have some credibility. Now he has none. Now he's just an enthusiastic sycophant for Joe Scarborough. And but he had DeSantis on as a guest yesterday. And
all right.
So Willie Geist is saying, if Donald Trump's convicted, do you actually still believe he should be president? That was how he, I mean, he's incredulous. Do you honestly believe that he still should be president? He says this to DeSantis. Here's what DeSantis said. Listen, you'll hear the question and the answer.
And you did say, Governor, at that August debate when the question was put to the entire panel, if Donald Trump is convicted, will you still, and he is the nominee, would you still support him? And you raised your hand. You're a lawyer. You've served in the Navy. You were well-trained at the greatest schools. Do you really believe that a man who's convicted of, say, attempting to overturn the 2020 election or taking nuclear secrets back to his beach club, do you actually still, as we sit here today, believe that person should be president?
So I signed a pledge, Willie, and that pledge is what it is. Now, do I think somebody under those circumstances could get elected president? The answer is no. That will not happen. I think that Republican voters will understand that as we get closer to voting. But it would be fatal in a general election. And I don't think the party should nominate in that situation. However, you know, I signed the pledge. I'm a Republican. I don't think it's going to come to that. And I think we'll get the job done like we need to. But the reality is I signed it, and that's what I did.
So you stand by that this morning?
Yeah, when I signed the pledge, you know, I knew you never know what's going to happen. It's a crazy process. People make different decisions. And I think my point of view on it was, you know, I'm participating in this process. I've got the plan to win. We're going to win. At the same time, it's like you can't just take your ball and go home. You can't on the one side of your mouth say the country's in decline, Biden's failing, and on the other hand say, you know, I'm just going to pout if things don't go my way. So that was kind of my rationale for doing it.
That's Ron DeSantis. You know, he benefits if Trump is out of the race. I mean, it's pure.
Yeah.
He has no chance with Trump in. Forget it. It's history.
Now, so he's got to stick with Trump. See, he's not really supporting Trump there, you know, but then again, you know, I don't know.
You hear the media, you know, Willie Geist, he's on MSNBC, which is blatantly, I mean, Fox may be conservative, but they try to be fair and balanced. They'll get liberals on and they'll let them talk. And sometimes they, especially nowadays, they overextend themselves to be overly generous with their time. But MSNBC doesn't do any of that. MSNBC is, they are proudly leftist, and that's the name of that tune. And so Willie Geist, the way he words his questions, like, do you honestly still believe that a guy who's convicted of inciting riots and insurrections and somebody who brings nuclear secrets to Mar-a-Lago, all of which, by the way, have never been proved, okay? It's been accused but not proved. The other thing is this. You forget that he was the president of the United States of America when he made those decisions. He had the authorization. He could have brought in the entire top secret file from his office down to Mar-a-Lago. There's nothing that anybody should be able to do based upon current law. But we live in an environment where rules don't matter. You know, I mean, rules are, they're not what they used to be in the old days when there was a law, you just abided by it. But nowadays, not so much. It can be bent and shaped so that it'll fit your narrative. And that's what the Democrats do, and that's what the left media does, too. The left media is despicable. You know, I mean, it is just amazing. So, anyway, Ron DeSantis, he doesn't benefit by having Trump in the race. You heard what I said a little while ago. 76% of Republicans polled don't even want any more debates. They figure it's Trump's for the losing, you know, and we don't need to hear all this smoke and mirror stuff.
Well, you know, he played the political answer. You know, he said, you know, he's basically sticking with Trump until it's determined one way or the other. But, you know, you're right. I'm right in the fact that all of these charges, and they're even saying it in the media now, you know, it's a Hail Mary. It's it has no basis. There is no proof. And they're going to sit there, and they're still going with this thing. And it should be, at this point in time, thrown out. Now, that wouldn't be good news for DeSantis, because then that means Trump's in it, and now he's got to sit there and rethink how he's running.
Well, it will be interesting to see whether they have another debate. I think they're planning it. I think it's soon, isn't it? It's like next week.
It's dumb.
Yeah, I do, too. I do. I think right now the Republican Party should...
Okay, you see the... Go ahead.
No, it's just that they should get together behind Trump. They should show a massive show of support. But the Republican Party, you probably have seen this, they have done nothing to show their support for Trump except send emails out to Republicans around the country pretending to be coming from Trump, asking for money for the upcoming election, and it's going to the Republican Party and not to Trump.
Yeah, and it's funny you should mention that, because I see those little hook lines all the time. Every day I get a half a dozen of them. And, you know, even the Democrats do it too. You know, the one line that they say that just tells me right away, I'm not even going to read anymore. Hello, friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am not your friend. I am not your friend. Let's get this clear right now. I get that from, you know, them, you know, saying on behalf of Donald Trump. I keep up with what's going on. I know people inside the circle. And Donald Trump didn't approve that little message that you sent out, friend. And by the way, for Schiff, how I got on a Democratic mailing list, I don't know. But I'm not your friend either, Polly.
You know,
so,
Bill,
just so you guys know,
you know,
I'm telling you how I really feel.
Well, you know, I made the mistake shortly after the 2020 election because I was caught up in the moment. I made a mistake of sending some money to what I thought was the Trump campaign.
Oh, you did that once.
One time.
It didn't go there.
Oh, my God.
And you know what's funny?
I've been inundated every day.
You can block that email, and they come in from a different address because they've got your email address, and they've got so many, not clone sites, clown sites that sit there and send out, hi, friend, you know, this is this will be our last communication. Good, get lost.
Well, you know,
friend, you didn't answer the last one.
Well, you know, the thing is they send it around. Maybe they don't send it anywhere. Maybe they just have permission to use different politicians' names. But now I get solicitations from every Republican, I think, in the country. I mean, hi, I need your help, and we need your help. You know, when Johnson became Speaker of the House, so help me God, the very day he was made Speaker, I got a solicitation from Mike Johnson for money. Now that I'm Speaker, I need help. But when
I'm begging you, friend,
when the guy who was in the running, what was his name, Eisner or something? Eisner, you know what I'm talking about. The other guy, the third in line guy, for about 3 hours, he was in the running to be Speaker, and I got a solicitation by him within those 3 hours. It's the Republican Party. It's not going to him. It's not going to these politicians, per se. It's going into the Republican Party coffers. So, I mean,
they decide where it goes, and there's a lot of administrative cost, you know. And let's just say that Trump is the leading guy, the contender.
Yeah.
Do you think the Republican Party is going to give that money to him to win it? Or are the rhinos in it, the Romneys and the whatnot, say, you know, hold that money back. I'm going to be doing this.
Well, if they really cared about the country, if they really cared about Republicans, they would have a long time ago stood shoulder to shoulder with the president during these legal crises that he's going through and said, we're with him. You come after him, you're coming after our entire party, you know? But this, McDaniels, what's her name? The Rona Romney McDaniels? She is the niece of Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney hates Donald Trump. So there's no love lost. The Republican, they're not sitting around the Republican Party headquarters thinking about how they can take care of Donald Trump, how they can protect him. I'm sure a lot of them want him to move on. You know, heck, they may be sending money to these other operations that are trying to get him jailed, for all we know, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, by the way, when is Liz Cheney going to announce that she's a Democrat?
I don't know, but you know what she did say last week? She said she is considering running for president.
Oh, yeah, and she's talking about how dangerous Speaker Johnson is. I was like,
yeah,
Liz, why don't you just sit there and take off your ugly mask? You're ugly, and show really, you know, what you are.
There was a vote. There was a attempted vote to censure Rashida Tlaib, and there were like 22 Republicans who either voted not to go along with the vote to censure, or didn't vote at all.
Get rid of them.
One of them was her name Hageman, the lady who actually took the place of Cheney, Liz Cheney. She didn't vote to censure Rashida Tlaib. Also, Chip Roy, another supposedly staunch Republican who I had a lot of faith in, he didn't vote to censure Rashida Tlaib. And Massey from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, he didn't vote to censure Rashida Tlaib. I mean, it was amazing. There's a whole list. There are like five or six on that list. You go, my God, you got to be kidding me. They didn't vote.
They're representatives. Now, if they're voting that represents the will of their constituents, I get it. But please explain your vote. And I can even accept the fact that they go, you know what, I voted this way because even though I do represent this and it's not what I voted, you know, just be honest with us. But, you know, if I were a politician, you know, if I'm there to represent somebody, I'm going to vote the way they want me to. Now, if I don't believe in it, I would explain why I don't believe in it, but this is what my constituents want. And I say that with reservation because it depends on what they want. But, you know,
it'll be interesting to see. I think that Chip Roy did come up with an explanation like that. He said, I believe that she should be censured, but I didn't believe in the way this particular vote was being presented. Apparently, it wasn't worded in a way that he felt comfortable with. So that's what he was saying. I don't know whether I'd go along with that. I think if someone's going to censure this Rashida Tlaib, she essentially caused an uprising in the Capitol. She incited.
Well, she lied. She did it all under a lie.
Yeah. So anyway, hey, we promised something, Bill, and at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
And we can
ice
take
ice cream for everybody.
Well, it's sort of like musical ice cream for everybody because I think it's the weekend coming up, and we all need to take a deep breath. Hopefully, it'll be a good weekend. Hopefully, nothing terrible will happen, but the way things are going right now, folks, you know that invading army of people from down south, they're going to come across the border, and the Border Patrol isn't going to stop them. It's going to
be
sad.
This weekend.
Yep. Anyway, we promised to play the brand new. I know this sounds crazy, doesn't it, folks? I mean, it's been like the Beatles, they quit in 1970, you know? Remember we heard, Let It Be, and we thought, well, Let It Be, that's the end, you know? Nope, that wasn't the end. This is their brand new song. Essentially, it was a cassette that John Lennon recorded in his apartment at the Dakota in New York a year or so before he was assassinated. And he recorded it just not thinking it was going to be used professionally. And they tried to in 1995 when they were releasing other cuts like Real Love, you know, which was another one of his cassettes. They tried to separate John Lennon's vocal from the piano he was playing. And they had George Harrison do a lead guitar back then. They went into the studio and actually tried to work the song, but they just couldn't separate John Lennon's voice from the piano. I know it sounds crazy. It does to me. Well, I guess the producer said, look, let's put it aside. Maybe technology will catch up with what we need. And it did. Technology caught up. They then got back in the studio recently, and they used AI, you know, artificial intelligence, to literally separate John Lennon's singing voice from the same mono track that the piano he was playing was on, so that now they can manipulate the tracks. They could do it professionally. They brought, you know, George Harrison, God bless him, he's no longer with us, but they took the track from the 1995 session, which they still had, and they used his track on this song, his lead guitar, and they have Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, and they put together this song here. This is the latest song. It was just released to the public yesterday. It's called Now and Then.
1, 2, 3. Song.
The Beatles, Now and Then. I never thought I'd be outroing a Beatles song again. What do you think?
Well, you're not doing it on radio. You're doing it on a podcast.
That's
although
true.
We should be on radio. But you know what? My general feeling is it is not exactly the Beatles as we know them per se, but given everything, it ain't bad, and it's better than nothing. So if you're a Beatles fan, it is what it is. Accept it. It's not bad. It gives you a Beatles song today. Paul and Ringo are 83. You know,
yeah.
Harrison and Lennon are gone. You know, I would call that, it's a win.
I was thinking about Beatles songs even when I was a kid, when they would release them for the most part, not all of them. Some of them were just snappy commercial tunes. A lot of them were, but then there was some that came along like Let It Be or Magical Mystery Tour or When I'm 64. They seem to be out of the mainstream. And when I first heard them, I don't know whether I just embraced them like, oh, that's great. I think like a lot of Beatles songs, they grow on you because they are not your stereotypical commercial records, you know? And I think that that's kind of what this is here. That was essentially the second time that I heard it played in its entirety. The first time, I did not warm to it. I thought, I don't know. I thought it was distorted in spots and stuff like that. But, I mean, it should be. Cripes, it came off a cassette that was probably just, the microphone might have been just stuck on his piano. You know, there was no.
Well, I mean, even if it was recorded then instead of now, how would it have sounded different or different? There was distortion. There's always been audio distortion. When he did this, he was doing it on tape. And
you remember the song Go Now by the Moody Blues? The very first hit song by the Moody Blues, I think in 65.
Oh, that was terrible.
We've already said, doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Go Now. The distortion was unbelievable on that song, and they knew it. I think it was recorded in the garage.
Yeah.
And it was a massive hit song. So distortion, there are a lot of groups that actually intentionally put distortion on their songs. You know,
there are people, you know, look, it is at the discretion of the producer and the performer. And if they think, it's got to have this distortion, you know, that was how they envisioned it. Let it go and accept it. You either like it or you don't. And if you don't like it, do it yourself and do it, you know, but a lot of times things that we go, it could have been better here, better there. And then you go and do it or somebody else does it. And it's better here and better there. It doesn't have the same overall effect that the original did. The original is just that. It's the original. That's your first impression. That's how you perceive it. That's the way it's going to be.
Okay, question. As we wrap this up, hit or miss?
I'll give it a hit.
Yeah, I will too. I will too. I think it's a safe guess it's going to be a massive hit. But, I mean, if it were being sung by another group, it might make it, you know. If it wasn't the Beatles, I mean, it'll be a massive hit because it's the Beatles' last hit song. But anyway, I think that's it. We've gone over today, but we had a good reason. Today was like a bonus day. It's the weekend, and we wanted to play that song for you. And I hope you enjoyed it.
That song is actually, you know, everybody's gone through the feeling of blues and down, and they've lost somebody, you know, you've said goodbye. And, you know, it seems that kind of song, you know, you're driving down the road, it's a cold winter day, and nothing hits you harder than a sad song, a lonely song.
Bill, so, don't. I'm going to start crying.
It's perfect.
Like this.
I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm just saying, people can put themselves into that song, into that place. We've all been there, done that. Now, I'm a believer that, you know, there is no goodbyes unless you just don't you know, unless you want to go goodbye. But anyway, with that.
Oh, you're getting too deep for me now, Bill. You're getting too deep. My eyes are moist.
You know, I ponder when I saunter. But anyway, that's a whole different thing.
Hey, listen, 833-538-7868 is our number. 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com. Then there's Jim and Bill at mail.com and mail at jimandbill.com. And I think the only other thing to do is to say, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
The Voice of Freedom, CRN America. These days, when you want an answer about just about anything, you ask Alexa. You ask her about the weather. You ask her who won your favorite sporting event. You ask her to find a fact that you can't find anywhere. Well, we did that too. We asked her how many people have downloaded itsanotherday.com. And this is what she said.
From acceleration.com. It has been downloaded as much as 260,433,467 times.
I know. Seems like a lot. Seems like a lot to us, too. But it's Alexa. Thanks for making us a part of your day. And tell your friends about itsanotherday.com. We could use an extra listener. I mean, what do you do when you only have 260 million?